Live. This is Vance Rogers coming at you live from Corbett, Oregon. And we have with us today Dr. John Jackson. And John, where is home for you again?
Well, first, Vance, thanks for the privilege of being on the call. We live in Santa Cruz, California, maybe an hour and a half south by car from San Francisco.
Okay, so where there's a little more land than San Francisco.
We have beautiful redwood trees, and Monterey Bay stretches out to the south of us. It's a gorgeous part of the world.
Okay, so we've got two West Coast boys on the line, so we apologize for all of you who have been awake for several hours because we're just getting our day started. John, you have been with NECN for how many years now?
Approximately 20 years.
Okay. And I remember first meeting you at a big event several years ago up in the northern part of Seattle, and it was labeled, literally, "The Doctors Are Coming." That's how they build it. And the auditorium maxed out at 500 people, and it was a wonderful, wonderful event where people came in droves just because there were doctors that were there. And I'll never forget some of the things I learned from you that day. So I'm hoping that you can share some of your wisdom, especially at a time like this, when it seems as if the world is scrambling. And I want to share some numbers that I just pulled off the internet this morning because I wanted to make them, make sure they were accurate, make sure they were timely. And yet, going back to the history of NECN, going back to the history of wellness, because it started a lot longer before you and I were around. We go back all the way in the Bible, and I just reading this morning in the Old Testament how to deal with sickness, certain diseases and whatnot, and the proper protocols. But before I even do that, tell us how you were introduced to NECN. Let's start there.
Well, my wife was driving our kids to a music lesson, and she was hit by a drunk driver. Police estimated a velocity of 50 to 60 miles an hour using Annette's car as a bumper, so to speak, or stopping point. And in the wake of that accident, in her 30s at the time, her health was really knocked off balance. And she tried everything. She went to my colleagues. She went to integrative practitioners and really didn't get the results she was looking for. She was always fatigued. But in an answer to prayer, we learned about NECN's water system and sleep technology. After suffering for 15 years, within days, she awakened with restored quality of life, full of energy for the first time in 15 years. It was really marvelous and mysterious. So that was kind of my introduction, sleeping next to a miracle, if you will. It took me a while to study and understand what I was looking at better, but we just couldn't stop sharing. It seemed like a moral obligation when we'd received an answer to our prayers not to share with others that were perhaps looking for something similar but didn't know where to find it. So that was kind of how I got started and how we've continued.
Okay. And it's very similar to a lot of us that we get introduced to NECN because, as I discussed last week with, and I apologize in my email because I described her as the former fighter, Carol Noble, and I meant to write former firefighter because we're all fighters. But we all, it seems like, and I know statistically, 91% of people get introduced to NECN because of a physical something, just wasn't at quite 100%. We're looking. And or someone introduced something and they raised the question, hey, how would do? Have you thought about this? And fast forwarding to today, I think, and I watched a short interview with Dr. Ben Carson, who is our country's is the director of HUD, is his title?
Yes, secretary.
Secretary of HUD, Housing Urban Development, I believe. And I've seen his books. I've not read them, but I know he's a well-known surgeon, has done some amazing things in the world of medicine. And what I heard in 6 minutes was probably some of the greatest advice ever. And he said, you know, yes, we're dealing with a global situation, and we always are. Most of us are doing our best to try and stay healthy. And he said, but I don't think we need to go into hysterics. And he listed the reasons why, and I thought it was fascinating in that hypertension, diabetes, obesity, and finally, respiratory issues are still among the top four killers when it comes to or not allowing people to live their lives to the fullest. And I sat there and thought about that, and I watched his calm demeanor. And my wife Stacy absolutely adores the man because she's read all of his books, and it's basically searching out people who have greater wisdom. I want to ask you lots of different questions in a conversational form, if I can. And just what do you find when talking to somebody, having an honest conversation? You're no longer practicing medicine. But at one point you had two different clinics, is that correct?
Well, I practiced in a small town, finishing my training, working in a private medical office and the local hospital. And then after about 10 years, I transferred to Santa Cruz, where it's a bigger medical community. I was at a clinic, 100 plus doctors, and working in a couple different hospitals. But after learning about Meekin and seeing some of the changes in medicine and the opportunities in Meekin, I decided to shift full-time to Meekin about end of 2006.
So if I'm listening to that, as most of us do, and average Americans are no different in that I think the percentages are into the 70s, that we're looking for auxiliary income or we're looking for another gig, as we describe it in what's called the gig economy. Was it perfectly normal for you to look for something else, or was it really because of Anna's life-altering accident that, you know, you saw that, hey, this could be it?
Well, I would call it the carrot and stick decision. The carrot was I saw the chance to share with patients more freely, or with clients, shall we term it, with friends, with acquaintances, contacts, what had been really, really helpful with Annette, and then with other members of the immediate family and more distant relatives and an enlarging circle of friends, to have the freedom to share that without as many eyes rolling and eyebrows being raised. That was the carrot. The stick was to get away with some of the commercialization to an excess of medicine. I'm happy for people to be successful and earn a good living, as doctors do, but we were induced by various means to work the patients through faster, and there just really wasn't sufficient time to have a respectful conversation. We learn typically in medicine, I think that's all walks of life, maybe 90% of what we learn about people by listening, carefully ask a few clarifying questions and listen intently. So there was less time for what I thought was pretty essential. I mean, of course, with modern technology, we have lots of lab tests to review and impressive numbers, so on and so forth. But people know their body, what's going on, sometimes with greater sensitivity than even the most modern of instruments. And they can also monitor to the extent they participate in their own recovery from a condition or a malady and hopefully prevention of that in the future. They need to be engaged and encouraged and praised for their own reporting of what's going on and taking the initiative to do something to help themselves. So I just didn't see as much room for a more holistic respectful, integrative approach to health, which we, the whole world wants better health, right? Without health, what do we have?
Yeah, as Dennis Williams, and I know you share a lot of his pithy sayings as well, that if I don't take care of my body, where am I going to live?
Right.
And there's nobody's responsibility. And I remember I was thinking about this morning. My childhood doctor, our pediatrician, he was not one that I don't have any disrespect for the man, but I did not like him. And so,
right.
And his lifestyle, number one, being a smoker. As a kid, I picked up on that really quick. You can't hide that, and I'm not against people who smoke. I don't think it's a good healthy choice. And it wasn't that I went to my mom any one day and said, "Mom, we need a new doctor. This guy's a quack." You know, I didn't ever say that. But I would have thought that he, knowing as much as he knew, he would have. So if we can fast forward to today, I know, again, the world is scrambling. In the last 3 months, I have read more, I have researched more on just taking care of this body that God's given me. And I feel as if I'm on the right track. People make fun of me because of my size now and say I'm too skinny, which I completely disagree with. I don't know I guess compared to other people, if I just wanted to look at my classmates, my sister-in-law and I, we're both in that category. And we both graduated. It was a small class, small town. And most of our classmates, there's more of them to love, just in that regard. I got to have lunch with her yesterday. We just happened to be at the right place. But we talk about these things all the time. What can we do to improve? And just having normal conversations like this. When it comes to, and I asked you this question a few weeks ago, knowing what was going on in the news, what was coming out of several different countries, and people scrambling, and it seemed like the main thing was to build up the immune system. And I think I asked you the question, this was probably 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, does the average American's body have the ability to fight off a new strain or something that comes down the pike or anything in average? And can you answer that question again? I don't know if you can remember exactly how you answered it, but it was very profound.
Well, give me a minute to work up some profundity, but anyway, nowadays, and I think everybody listening to us, they can agree, COVID-19 is certainly a topic for discussion, and you can either consider that a very sad subject matter or a springboard for hope. And I think you asked me, why is it that stats seem to be a bit different comparing, say, the COVID-19 experience of Japan with our own? And it is intriguing and thought-provoking. And I think the two numbers that might be worth looking at, and we could talk about what we could do with those numbers, we could look at how many cases are reported. And, of course, that depends on the means and the accuracy of data gathering. And then the number of deaths is the worst complication.
And I've got those right in front of me, and if I can just share them right now. And again,
yeah.
I appreciate you saying it that way, that are these 100% accurate? Well, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we're just over 500,000 total cases in the United States. And if we just compare and contrast that to Japan, they have 6,005. And then the total number of deaths, according, and I'm looking at Worldometers info. You can also find the same statistics on the John Hopkins University website. USA total deaths is 18,751, and I don't even need to look at the Japan statistics for deaths because it hasn't changed in the last 3 days, and it's at 99. And I looked up this morning. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say that your eyes can almost glaze over with numbers flashing by. And isn't it interesting, in a single week, numbers that are used for projections on how many masks and other protective devices will we need, how many hospital beds, how many ventilators, those can drop to half or even down to a third of what they were earlier in the week. So it shows that models are tricky, and some of the formulae are probably in revision even as we speak. But if you look at the worldwide experience, depending on whether the cup is half full or half empty, way more than 90% of people who catch COVID-19 live to tell about it. And if you take stats here, it may be 96% of us, and then maybe in Japan it's 98 or 99 that do well. But from this, we can grapple with the question, why is it that another country might have a better experience? Is this such a potent virus, one way of looking at this, that it's a sledgehammer that smashes everything about health, or is it the straw that breaks the camel's back? And maybe if the camel knew of their back problem, they would have done something about it ahead of time, or the person who was worried about a respiratory condition, knowing they had lungs that could be affected, would they have done something if they'd known how to do it to shore up their strength and be stronger, if you will? I'm from Midwest, a son of a farm boy, actually grandson of a farm girl from the South, and I definitely received a very definite cultural transmission, if you will, passing of the mantle. And I can sum it up in 3 points very quickly. Picture a three-legged stool, very strong, stable, unlike some of these stats that seem to be changing from day to day. But Midwesterners and Southerners, we like to exercise common sense. Nowadays, maybe the least common of the senses, especially on the East and West Coast. Second leg, those of us from the Show Me State, we want to see results. Real life proof of the pudding. Any YouTube recipe may sound good, but how does it smell in your kitchen, on your plate, and taste in your mouth? And then finally, the third item, I think, is faith, which is foundation to all human enterprise. And I've heard a good definition of faith, that is, pray like it all depends on God and take action like it all depends on you. And I think that we are not, for those that can remember David the Bubble Boy in the 1970s, who was born without an immune system. He had to live within a protective bubble, isolated there.
And this movie came out portrayed by John Travolta, I remember,
right,
as a kid seeing
right.
it. Yep.
And he was waiting, his family was waiting for a bone marrow transplant to get an immune system, but it didn't come. His sister wasn't a compatible donor. And, that was early on in the bone marrow transplant experience. But hey, we're not like David, we don't lack immune responsiveness. And so why all this cowering in place, pardon my French, we've won out over countless microbes in our life. So would it make sense to avail ourselves of any natural means, easy tools, to strengthen our defenses? And that's how this Missouri mule spells Niken, N-I-K-K-E-N. For the person of faith, did God have Alzheimer's? Was he forgetful when he was putting together the body? And build a better immune system into this body? But I think of the Garden of Eden or the rainforest, for those preferring that origin story, energized air, clean water, Sabbath rest, fresh whole food nutrition, energy from earth, wind and sun, don't they make for the healthiest work environment for a body that does its best work as designed? And I think Vance and I are both very, very thankful, and those on the call have been beneficiaries of some of the wonders of modern science. We respect, we pray for our workers in medical offices and urgent care clinics, ERs, hospitals, first responders. Thank God for their services dedicated to help us when they're needed. But conventional Medicare is very expensive. There are long waits, and it tells you something about supply and demand, not to mention how difficult the science is and imperfect the nature of conventional treatments, and not to mention our own emotions and habits that play a major role. I've seen people get on a statin drug and think they can still eat three Big Macs a day, so we have to take a more common sense approach to life, and our own home, where, as I started with our Nikan experience with my wife, we're a family unit of four. Our older daughter, she had agonizing sensations frequently in her head, debilitating nausea. The same formula for my wife. Water and sleep systems from Nikan facilitate a much better quality of existence. In my own case, not to compare kind of minor problems compared to the other family members, but I have very stiff, sore shoulders and neck, and got a Nikan necklace, and by golly, received prompt relief. Now, I did go on to lose that necklace, not to confess to my wife that I'd lost the one she ordered, so she ordered another one, and I got back the same wonderful results. So I would sum up by saying we are an immediate family of four with active, unimpeded lifestyles. We feel full of energy and joy. We're happy campers, as are the extended family members and adopted family overseas. Simply completely nuts about Nikan, and I'll pause there. I had to run away with the microphone here a little bit, but I just feel in Nikan, we had the answer to our prayers, and somebody is looking for what we have and have experienced. And they just may be, even with the internet today, not know exactly where to get it. And they need a little shepherding. And I think that's the high calling and the noble mission we have in Nikan, to humbly and respectfully, but in a dedicated, persistent manner, share what we know. Otherwise, I think if there would be an accounting for why didn't you share with anybody? You could have helped your neighbor.
And, you know, and Dr. Jackson, I want to pause here and do a little commercial if I can, because I'm looking at a picture of from a couple years ago. You mentioned your two daughters, and I have three. Most everybody knows that. And this picture is of our oldest when she was in Tanzania, and out way out in the remote, and she's got her hand, and I don't remember what the illness was, but she's got her hand on this young man's head, and she's praying for him, and there's another little boy right to her right looking up at this white person. And that's, you can see that on his face going, what is she doing? You know, and maybe this is his older brother. I did not get the whole story. But, and I love that suggestion that, you know, we do need to pray if it's as if it's all up to God. And then we need to do our part to make self-care self-care. Because there's issues right now that happen in our family every week that we're all going, you know, and we have a common joke in our small little fire department that we have, and it shouldn't be funny at all, but those of us who are members, the last number that we would dial on our phone in a case of emergency is 911. It is the last. Why? Because we don't want to suffer the ridicule of the jabs and the pokes from our fellow members, because they'll never let us live it down. And so that's just the way we roll, because we don't want to inconvenience them. And my nephew and I were talking about this yesterday. I said, hey, did you get to respond to that call last night? And I said, and by the way, what is an HE? And that was the code, the HE3. And he said, yeah, I did get to go. And that was officially his first call. He just joined our department. And he said it was a headache. And I looked at him and I went, I was speechless. Why would you do that? I mean, and I said, I looked right at him. I said, you know, from what I've read and what I've researched, most headaches can be not cured, but resolved in a short amount of time if a person is willing to do something drastic, like drink more water. And it needs to be clean water. But I want to give the, sorry for digressing there, but I want to give the number for the call that you host every week. And it's a little different than most conference calls. And it's a very active call with all the participants. But you host it every Monday morning. So it's 48 hours from now at 7 a.m., and I've learned more from that call probably than any other call. And I'm very grateful for you because of the open format that we have. People sharing Nikken testimonies, people just all kinds of information and intel that comes out of that. But the phone number for that, folks, and if you want to write this down and you can hear more of Dr. John's wisdom, is area code 717-275-8941. And again, that's 717-275-8941. And then it's a pretty long code, which is 497-4560. Pound. Again, 497-4560 pound. And I will warn you in advance, Dr. John does not mute out everybody, so it's very, very open and active. So if you're in an area where it's a lot of background noise, just make sure you mute your phone or hit star 6 on the line. That'll mute it. But that's every Monday morning at 7 a.m. Okay, I want to jump back into some current statistics, and we can finish with this. I was curious, John, about the Japanese perspective on what's going on right now globally, this global pandemic called COVID-19, and my daughters keep telling me I'm mispronouncing. They said, Daddy, it's COVID. the coronavirus, our lead paramedic at our fire department described it as the Kung Fu flu. And folks, don't be racist, please. I have a daughter who's Chinese, and do your homework. Don't. Please. The Spanish flu did not come from Spain. It happened 102 years ago. Just look it up. It's this little thing called Google. We use it all the time. It's amazing what you can learn in a matter of seconds. But nobody created this as a vendetta. Don't fall prey to that. But the current statistics right now, and I found it fascinating, and this goes back to an experience I had 21 years ago, the first time I had the privilege of being in Japan at the courtesy of Nikken. We'd earned a trip, and I learned so much. You know, it's one thing to go and say, hey, I'm going to go visit the Big Apple. I'm going to go visit New York City. Now would not be a good time to go, or Niagara Falls, or pick something like the Grand Canyon. You can read about it, and you can read about it, and you can read about it, and you can watch documentaries about it. But then when you go there in person, you go, wow, it all comes alive. It's like taking a tour to Israel. It all comes alive if that's your particular area of interest. But Japan right now, 126 million people, one of the largest, if not the largest city in the world, is Tokyo. 37.4 million people in that little city, all crammed in a small amount of space. And yet Nikken started in 1975, and they discovered Mr. Isamu Masuda, who has since passed away, discovered a different angle on this. Self-care, you can call it a lot of different things. But I find it fascinating right now, again, as I mentioned the statistics, over 6,000 confirmed cases and only 99 people have perished with COVID-19. What is it that the Japanese are doing? And I don't have the answer for that. John, I think this is one of the questions and why I asked you, I think it was 6 or 7 weeks ago, does the average American immune system, is it strong enough? And I think we've answered that question. But I'm not going to give the answers that I found, but I do think, and my last point is this, what I discovered 21 years ago when I was there, right before our oldest, literally just a few days before our oldest daughter was born, and getting to walk around and tour that amazing country, what little bit we got to see with my roommate at the time, Dennis Williams, and it was a very meaningful trip. But what I learned by just asking questions, why do people wear masks here? Why is the cleaning lady in the men's restroom cleaning the urinal right next to me, and as soon as I flush, she immediately cleans the urinal that I just used? What is this her time? No, she stays in that. She was in that bathroom the whole time. She never left. Why is it that they're so clean? What are they doing? Why did they put green tea in Häagen-Dazs ice cream? That just didn't make sense to me. all the other things, why do they consume an amazing amount of vegetables and they eat so little red meat? Why is it I see them not ever drinking any soda, pop, whatever you want to call it, carbonated beverages?
I think, Vance, I might interject. My wife is South Korean, and we did travel on a Nikkan trip to Japan, and you know, her ability to look into the culture is better than mine. There are many parallels, but they are orderly, very respectful of one another, including space, spacing, shall we term it, the masks that you mentioned, streets, I mean, almost without exaggeration, clean up to eat off of. One thing that Annette points out is that on television, most of the commercials have to do with wellness. If you talk with a Japanese or Korean person about the importance of water, they're right with you. They already have a water system probably, and are interested if you have something better. It's just a focus on natural approaches to prevention and to healing, and it is just, I think, yielding fruit for them. We could overemphasize the treacherous nature of this bug, but I think the emphasis here is on the marvelous machine that God designed, which includes an immune system, and they're doing everything that they know how to do, and they're scientists dedicated to uncovering the more mysteries, if you will, of practical, natural tools you can use to fortify your own defenses. So it's just a it's a different orientation. Same in Korea, and you know, I know less of the Chinese experience, but anyway, in Asia, people definitely want to be healthy, and it's not just a wish, it's something they take practical steps and invest in. I mean, I was really shocked. If you compare the reaction of the average American to the average Korean as far as, well, this water system will cost, you know, $300, $400, or $500. That's pretty low. They've already spent thousands on Kangen or some darn thing. So anyway, we have the wonderful opportunity to offer products that have superior features and benefits at a very accessible price compared to some of the other technologies out there for those that are interested in taking care of themselves. Anyway, end of commercial. But again, thank you for setting up this conversation, Vance.
Well, I appreciate it too as well, because I think, and I'll give you give a quick commercial next week for somebody who not only has survived, I wouldn't describe her as a survivor, I'd call her as a thriver, Carol Noble, new friend, just met her a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to let her come back and just open up the line for people that want to ask her specific questions. What did you do? What was your regimen? And I laughed last Saturday when she said that she was taking two of the immunity. I thought, oh, my goodness. That's normal, you know, and we get all these questions all the time from people. Well, what would you suggest? Oh, really? That's going to cost me that much? Yeah, it's around $1 a day for the lactoferrin. You know, that's, if you can find another source, and I find it amazing that the Chinese and the Japanese and the South Koreans, they produce dozens upon dozens of products. That's the primary ingredient in them, that one element alone, because they've discovered something. And like you said, John, it really begs us to ask the question. Rather than wait, what we've been told, it could be a full year to have a vaccine for something. What are we going to do for the full year? Just go hunker down in a cave? I'd like to keep on living. And we have seen, on a business note, so to speak, we have seen a surge in our Nikkan business in the last few months. Because I think people are coming to grips with the fact, maybe I need to take health care and make it self-care. Maybe you're on to something. And it's not about us being right. That's not it at all. But you and Anna have provided a beautiful example. And I learn from our daughters all the time, because they're faster at gathering intel. They're have less patience for stupidity, if I can call it that. And they're quick to say, hey, Daddy, that's not probably not such a good idea. I said, you know, you're right. I never thought it from your age group's perspective. And we have truly embraced this time that we're all home from different parts of the world, and we're learning how to function. It's a patient, you know, thing. And maybe this might be the new protocol. I don't know. But
well, I think, which may be a little bit cryptic, I know I haven't been super specific about Beacon products for immune defenses, but I think we're wise to keep things simple, not to put on airs as if we're now Beacon barefoot doctors with a prescription and promise the moon for everybody's quality. I think we're best to over-deliver rather than to over-promise, but you know, just very briefly as a sidebar, we have tremendous tools that have never hurt anybody that really, really help the body be strong, and that would be, you know, the water, the sleep, the air system, the nutritional line, the energy products. All of these synergistically add up to a very, very potent support of good, healthy body function, including defending against bugs.
Absolutely. Yes, yeah, so we'll end on that note. And again, if you jumped on late, our guest today was Dr. John Jackson, and I don't believe we made any medical claims, even though we did mention some specific things. We never, ever say, even me, and I'm not a doctor, I don't have any of those letters behind my name, I do not play one on TV. However, I learned 27 years ago when I was very foolish and injured my back because I willingly jumped off of a 75-foot cliff into a beautiful waterfall, that if I wanted to live a better quality of life and not suffer like I had for over a year, that I need to do something about it because, well, modern medicine wasn't giving me the solution I was looking for. And I was 24 years of age, and just like Dr. Jackson's journey, we get to discover things that help our body help itself. We do need to change the environment, and we're very passionate about Nikan because of that. So, again, John, thank you. And one last commercial real quick. Monday morning, 7 a.m. is, again, what we call the Nikan prayer call. If you missed that number, I'll give it again. But thank you for giving your time this morning. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Vance.
All right. Thanks.